You can read all 14 chapters of the Joseph story in about 20 or 30 minutes, the whole thing. So if you feel like, wow, we got cheated on some verses today, just go home and read them. You can do that, right? They asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? And it was really kind of a trap, but Jesus, of course, rose above that. And you remember the answer that he gave? What was the greatest commandment? It's to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the other commandments are built on those. Well, we're going to look at that today because somewhere along the line, we get things messed up. We don't love God with everything we've got. Our loyalties and our love get sidetracked. And we don't always love other people like we should either. Especially when we come from a family that doesn't love God or other people. That was Joseph's family. We've been tracking with them. Thank you. We've been tracking with this family, and God's been at work to bring this family back to each other, but also back to himself. And the truth is, not only Joseph's family, but you know, you're in my family, whether that's the one you came from or the one you have now, or we have issues with our families too, don't we? We're not perfect. Our title for our series has been Fruitful in Affliction. Truth is, all of us either now or have been or will be going through some kind of troubles and trials and afflictions. And so I trust that it's been good to sort of track with this guy, Joseph, and his brothers. Let me back up a little bit and get a running start. It's been 20 years since Joseph has seen his brothers. Last week he met 10 of the 11 brothers. Young brother Benjamin is still at home. And he's wondering, well, how are these guys, what are they doing? Joseph wanted to sort of discover some answers. Yes, his father Jacob was still alive. Yes. Brother Benjamin is doing good and living at home. And yes, his brothers had felt guilty and they knew they had sinned when they sold Joseph into slavery. So he kind of knows that. But he's still not quite sure. How are the brothers feeling and treating their father Jacob? And their consciences, have they been sort of hardened toward God, or are they responsive and sensitive to that? Well, that's sort of where we left off last Sunday. Today we're going to talk about the road to restoration, that is, restoring both on a vertical level, a relationship with God, and the horizontal level with each other. Here's the main point. God wants to restore our love for him and for one another. Those relationships are important. Jesus says they're the most important. And so God's going to do what he can to work. So these two chapters, we're going to see that God's going to test these brothers. Here's the first test. He's going to test our trust. Remember, there's a famine in the land, 7-year famine. They're back home with Jacob and Benjamin, and all the brothers are there, except, well, one, they had to leave Simeon in prison back in Egypt. And the father's going to say, hey, you need to go back to Egypt. To do a couple things. To show their good faith, to prove they weren't spies, that's what Joseph had kind of claimed they were doing, to buy more food, of course, and to get Simeon out of jail. So we see the interaction. And the question is, will we trust each other? Remember, this is an interesting family that trust between one another isn't their strong suit. They have some history of things. Oh, boy. Judah, one of the brothers, says, we got to bring Benjamin back. That's the deal. That was the deal the man made. Simeon's back in prison, but we got to bring another brother, the final brother. My wife asked me a question that took me a little to figure out. How long, because sometimes we have timing words in here, other times we don't, but how long things go on? How long does it take to go from where they are, Canaan, to Egypt? Well, it's 250 miles. So it takes about 2 weeks to go one way. So a round trip is a month. Just kind of rounding off there. In verse 10, we don't have it there, one of the brothers says, we could have gone and come back twice. So that's 2 months. Plus it took 2 weeks to get back to Canaan in the first place. All that to say, Simeon's been in jail for 3 months. Probably wondering, where are those brothers? What are they doing? What are they telling Dad? Are they ever going to come back? You know, no, we don't, Scripture doesn't record for us what Simeon's thinking, but you can imagine. Well, Israel, verse 6, that's another name for Jacob, said, why did you treat me so badly and tell the man you had another brother? It's your fault, you dumb boys. What? And they said, well, we didn't know. We're just answering the question. He said, yeah, we do. We have a younger brother. Well, then one of them, verse 8, Judah says, he kind of steps forward and basically says, Dad, trust me. Send the boy with me. We'll arise and go, that we may live and not die. Remember, there's a famine. Both we and you and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From his hand you shall require him. If I don't bring him back to you and set him before you, then I'll bear the blame forever. Dad, I'm going to guarantee we'll come back with all the brothers and it'll be okay. Well, as Joe read, Jacob says, okay, let's go. Bring some gifts. Bring double the money. They're trying to do the honest thing here, you know, pay back the money. And apparently the father trusts the sons, and the sons trust each other, and Benjamin trusts them, and there's some trust there, which that's good. But it's hard to trust each other sometimes in our families, isn't it? With past history, our families know us the best. And sometimes they sort of wonder. But it's important, isn't it? Where a spouse trusts their mate about their money. Parents trust their teenager with a car. Oh boy. Kids trust their parents to make the right decisions. A church trusts its leadership to lead them in the right direction. And so God says, well, I want you to trust each other. I also want you to trust me. The question is, will we trust God in all this? Jacob says an interesting thing. He says, may God Almighty, Hebrew word El Shaddai, God Almighty, powerful one. And that's an interesting title. He just didn't think of that. But it goes back to Genesis 17 when God met with Abraham, made a covenant with him. And God says, well, I'm God Almighty. So Jacob is kind of remembering back, may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man. They don't know it's Joseph yet. And may he send back your other brothers, Simeon, and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, if it doesn't work out, I'm bereaved. He's going to trust God Almighty for the safety of his kids. Parents, we have to do that, don't we? Trust God with our children. Now, yeah, I get it. There's other adults and teachers and coaches and friends that are involved in things. But ultimately, we have to trust God for our kids. And all of us have to trust God with our lives. Okay, God, things are out of my control. This is long distance. It's even in another country. I can't be there. I'll have to trust you. So the men took the money, took all the gifts, went on. Joseph sees him. He says, let's have a party. They're a little nervous. Maybe they think it's a trap. No, Joseph doesn't have ulterior motives. It's not a trap. And then, an interesting thing, we're jumping ahead here, down to verse 23. This is the steward. He says, peace to you. Don't be afraid. And now this pagan Egyptian is going to talk to him about God. Your God and the God of your fathers has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money. The brothers didn't really think of connecting the money they got back with God. And here this guy says, well, nobody thinks you stole it. We know what happened. God was involved in this. In fact, I was the one that put the money in your sacks. Come on, brothers, wake up. I don't think he said it that way, but that was the idea. Well, sure enough, the brothers finally get together with Joseph. And Joseph sees his brother Benjamin. The last time he saw Benjamin, Benjamin was a toddler. Now he's in his early 20s. And he says, is this the brother? Yeah. God be gracious to you, my son. Well, that's an interesting greeting. Joseph never greeted the other brothers that way. Well, Joseph, his emotions get the best of him, and he has to kind of excuse himself, and he weeps. And then he kind of collects himself. He says, okay, let's keep having the dinner. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. From the oldest to the youngest, the men looked at one another in amazement. Wow, what are the odds of that? Almost 40 million to 1. 39,917,000 different orders in which 11 individuals could be seated. So yeah, they're astonished. And Benjamin gets 5 times as much food. And Joseph's going to be like, well, let's see how this goes. Are they going to treat Benjamin badly over this? Or what are the brothers going to do? Well, it says they drank and they were merry with him. The brothers had changed. God had been working in their lives, individually and then collectively, of course. He had used Joseph in that process. He used the journey. He used his father. He used lots of different things. We looked at that last week. I think the brothers are really coming around. and they're beginning to trust God. They promise to take the blame for any catastrophe with each other, so that there was some responsibility. They acknowledged their culpability and they made restitution for the money. They had told Joseph they were honest men, and they were showing that. They did come back and retrieved a brother from prison, so there was some unity there in the family. They recognized God at work. There's belief and trust. And they rejoice in provisions even if the baby of the family gets five times as much. Those are kind of good things that could be helpful for us too, right? Do I trust God? Am I responsible? Am I honest? Do I seek unity? Am I believing? Am I thankful? Am I submissive? It's going to be necessary for these brothers who become the leader of 12 tribes, who become together as a nation, the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's going to be important for a nation. It's important for a family, as we see. It's important for a church. And God tests that, our trust. Will we trust each other? Will we trust God? Well, there's a second test. That's the next chapter. God's going to test our loyalty. Our loyalty. He commanded the steward, it's the same steward. I wonder what the steward's thinking. Like, wow, what is Joseph up to with all this stuff? Fill the men's sacks with food and put their money back in. But this time, put my cup, you know that special cup I have, in the youngest sack. And so off they go. Well, what's Joseph up to? Well, the question is, first part of this is, will they, the brothers and you and I, will we be loyal to God? When things don't go so right or kind of are surprising or whatever, will we be loyal to God? So Joseph sort of has created this scheme where they would recall their past and just, well, let's see what happens. Well, the servant, the steward runs after him. Hey, you stole the boss's favorite cup. He said, no, we didn't. We didn't steal. We didn't lie. We know God's law about that. We're loyal to him. And as we see, they have nothing to hide. No, we didn't do this. So their sacks are sort of, well, let's check. And so their sacks are sort of systematically opened from the oldest to the youngest. Reuben? Nope, he didn't take the cup. Simeon didn't have it. Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun. It's a big family, we know. Yep. No, they're all innocent. Well, and then it finally comes down to Benjamin. Well, now everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. Benjamin, no, he's not going to be guilty one. Plus, he doesn't even know anything about Joseph. That was a family secret they've kept for a long time. He didn't know anything about it. But sure enough, verse 12, he searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup is found in Benjamin's sack. How could that be? What do they do? Verse 13, they tore their clothes. In the Old Testament, that's a sign of sorrow and fear sometimes. And they got to go back and return to Joseph. But there's no accusations. There's no rationalizations or, you know, they're willing to, all right, let's face the consequences and let's face them together. They're not going to make excuses. So sure enough, verse 14, there before Joseph, and he asks, well, what have you guys done? Interesting. Judah, well, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Oh, God is the one now at work. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, in whose hand the cup's been found. We're in this together. Yes. We're going to be loyal to God and what God's doing, what God's want us to do. Before they had said, remember this was sort of a similar thing where when on their way they discovered the grain and their money, and oh no, and they thought, uh-oh, what has God done to us? And they were afraid. They've come a little further from that now. And they said, we're not running from God or trying to cover that up. No, God is at work here. God has found us out. This test between us and God, yeah, God, we are guilty. And we want to be loyal to what you're going to do. So yeah, God, I think they passed the test. Yes, God, we are loyal to you. But then the next question, of course, is, will we be loyal to each other? What would they do? Brother Benjamin is the guilty one. Would they just save their own skins? And just say, yeah, take them away. Truth is, we didn't really like them that much anyway. They were guilty of selling one brother. Let's get rid of another brother. And what kind of story would they tell Dad back home? They've been pretty good at that. But Judah, one of the brothers, he was the one that initially said, let's not kill Joseph, at least let's get some money for him back when. So Judah was the one, let's sell him. Judah steps forward and says, we can't do this. Brothers and Joseph, we're in this together. Yes, we are loyal. Yes, we do care about our father. We do care about Simeon in jail and Benjamin that we brought. The verses in between, Judah basically kind of summarizes everything. He tells Joseph, you know, here's what you told us to do, to go back, to bring them. This was the deal. We did it. But we're a family. And we're going to leave as a family. They had been repentant over what they had done to Joseph. They still don't know Joseph is the man, but we're getting there. They had concern and loyalty and love to their father and their half-brother Benjamin. He said, yes, we're loyal. We need that within in our relationships, don't we? Loyalty to one another, right? Children count on their parents to be loyal and watch out for them. The wife counts on her husband to be there for her and vice versa. A good friend is a friend that's loyal. Or you want that job at work and you, the promotion, and you confide in your coworker. You know, you really like that and you're going to, but then your friend kind of goes behind your back and tells the boss that and says, you're not really good for that job. Don't hire them. And they're not loyal. Loyalty is important. Well, these stories are kind of real life, aren't they? Joseph's family. Are they kind of a dysfunctional family? Yeah, in many ways, they are. Do they have unhealthy patterns of communication and resolving conflict? Yeah, they do. Was there sibling rivalry and jealousy? Yeah, there was that too. And were the parents the best models of love and acceptance? No, not really. But you know what? That's real life. And it's not just a story of real life. This is a story of restoration and reconciliation, isn't it? And redemption. Because in spite of all this, do the brothers, does this family even have a chance? They do, don't they? Does God have a plan for this family? He does. It's an amazing plan. Not only to get them back together, but He's going to build a whole nation through these 12 brothers. There's hope for them. There's hope for us. Yeah, but a lot of time has gone by. Some hurt and harm and affliction. Joseph, can you just forgive all that? Come back next week, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. And we're going to see Joseph and his brothers and forgiveness in action. Well, let me pray for us as we are on the road to restoration, I trust, where God wants to restore our love for Him and our love for other people. Let me pray. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer for restoration. So where there's hostility, bring your kindness. And where there's conflict, please bring gentleness. And where there's sin, Lord, bring forgiveness. We know and acknowledge and trust that You are the God of reconciliation. So help us to trust You in Your restoring power. Help us to live with each other, that together we may trust and love You and each other as we should. We pray in the powerful name of the one who reconciled us back to You, even our Lord Jesus. Amen.